We're going to talk about the slows, right? I've got the slows. Okay, now who remembers the Geritol commercial from Oh No, I've Got the Slows? Remember, who remembers that? Oh No, I've Got the Slows. Okay, it dates us pretty badly. But anyway, Geritol commercial, of course, is for iron. And the commercial went, you have a group of people, I think this was in the 60s maybe, you know, that of course dates us all. But anyway, what's happening in the commercial is everybody is kind of involved in some activity, and then all of a sudden, the person goes, oh no, I've got the slows. And that was the commercial, of course, because they lack iron, and it's slowing them down. But of course, we know that it's not only just lack of iron that slows us down, but a variety of other things. And what else tends to slow us down in life? Well, I would say routine, just on, you know, an ongoing routine, aimlessness, a lack of purpose or direction, or depression. All these things cause one to have the slows in life. And that brings us to today's portion. You wonder how that does it, but today's portion is Devarim, which we've already said, which means words in Hebrew. But the Greek title for this book is Deuteronomy, which means second law. And the reason this is called this is because Moses recapitulates the laws of Mount Sinai on the edge of the promised land 40 years after the Mount Sinai event. And the question is why does he even do it? What's the point of this all? And the answer is because the first generation that experienced the Exodus, that with all the miracles and so forth, had perished. They were the witnesses of the great miracles, but now they're gone, and there's a completely new generation. And in fact, this current generation, all they knew about, they hadn't seen the miracles, but all they knew was a routine and kind of wandering in the wilderness, seemingly with no direction in life. It's just wandering around and around. And it's possible that this generation had the slows, right? Because it was like, what am I doing out here? And so the problem is that the new generation had this huge task in front of it, which was to go in to conquer the promised land. And the problem with slows is it dulls you down. It makes you ineffective. In fact, sometimes it can even cause a person to give up because of the slows in life and so on. And so what does the Lord do? Basically, he makes a new covenant with the people of Israel at this point. See, remember the covenant that was made at Mount Sinai was very special. It was following the great deliverance out of Egypt. And then here the Lord appears at Mount Sinai in an extremely dramatic way, the presence of God hovering over the mountain. And then and he gives the nation vision at this point, tells them that they're supposed to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He calls them a treasured possession. And then they hear the very voice of God. And it's transformational for this nation. But really, 40 years has now gone by, and not a whole lot has happened. Yeah, there's been a few miracles in the wilderness. That's been great, but all they've been doing is wandering around in the desert. And it's a little bit discouraging. And now there's a new covenant. In fact, a better word for this would be a renewed covenant. Because this time, there's no dramatic manifestation like at Mount Sinai. Rather, there is a formulation given, which is captured in the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy is patterned after these old ancient treaties called ancient treaties of grace between a conquering king and a conquered people. In fact, the style of Deuteronomy, its structure and its wording is very similar to these ancient treaties. And the point of these treaties was, this is what the king has done for you by delivering you from another dictator. And now I've done all these great things for you, and now you have certain responsibilities in keeping because of this great deliverance. And so the Deuteronomy passage, as well as the ancient treaties, include the introduction, the history, the stipulations that the people are supposed to keep, blessings and curses. They have a succession clause in each of the treaties. And then at the end, there is a placement, a copy and placement of treaties. In other words, each group, the king and the people, get a copy of the treaty to remember for it. And so you can capture this in the book of Deuteronomy, where you have the two tablets. And the two tablets are placed in the tabernacle. Now, of course, we know, I don't know if the tablets are not here, but they're in the entranceways. Of course, you know in the tradition, the tablets have, it looks like they have five commandments on each tablet, but it's not likely that was the way it was. The way the original tablets were is they probably had both the Ten Commandments on each of the tablets because they represented the treaty between God and Israel. And so they kept the copies of this treaty, the one place where God and man met together, which was in the tabernacle. One copy was for the Israel, one copy was for God, to remind them of what God has done for his people. So the question is why? Why is this all done? Why does this even happen? Because it provides the people of Israel, this new generation, with a renewed vision. Because they were familiar with these treaties, these ancient treaties. They understood the connection between a conquering king and a people and how God was now the conquering king and how he was expecting his people to love him. In fact, it was a way to identify with the people. It was like a point of identification so that they could understand what was going on. It's interesting that the storyline in Deuteronomy does not begin with the Exodus experience. There's no reference to the plagues. There's no reference to Mount Sinai. Rather, it begins with the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness and God's provision for them. Why? Because the Exodus was not their experience. They had not gone through it. It was the prior generation. So what the Lord was trying to show them was that there is a reason for what you've been going through. This was a preparation for what God was going to do. And that God is always present no matter what we go through and whatever the situation is. He's the conquering king. And he will, and he's going to bring about the taking of the lands, the promised land for Israel, because he's the conqueror. He is going to go before them. And now is the time to kind of get off your personal duff, to get rolling, and to break free from the slows, so to speak, and to see everything that the Lord is about to do and the excitement and the transformation that's going to take place. In fact, it's very similar to the words that the author of the book of Hebrews wrote to the early Messianic Jews near the end of the first century, where he wrote this in Hebrews chapter 12. They were facing severe persecution. And he said this to them, "Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees, and make level paths for your feet, and so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. Because now is the time for what God really wants to do." This is very similar to Yeshua's ministry when he came to the earth. When Yeshua began his ministry, Israel was under Roman authority for the past 100 years. You see, it had been 100 years since they'd been independent. They were discouraged. It was a discouraged group of people. They were disgruntled. In a sense, you could say they had the slows, right? Because they were kind of down and out. Where was the hope? Where was the vision and so forth for a better tomorrow? It was a nation that was supposed to be a light to the nations, and yet they were subject to darkness. It doesn't seem to make any sense. And so Yeshua offers them a renewed covenant. He identifies with the people's experience and their suffering. In fact, the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount shows that kind of identification at the very beginning of his ministry, where he talks about the poor, he talks about those who are mourning, the meek, the persecuted, those who kind of were like just basically down and out. And in each of these situations, he shows that it's a pathway to liberty, to abundance, and to peace, every one of these situations. He knew he had to rouse the masses and to take hold of what God was doing in their midst, because they were being called to change the world, and you can't do it when you're in the midst of the slows. That's the problem. They had to first be changed and then go forth. And then those who responded to his message, they were changed, and then they changed the whole world around them. Listen to what John says here about that fact. John chapter 1, he says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." There was a transformation that took place when the people of Israel heard the words of Yeshua, and they were changed just like that. They were the disgruntlement, the discouragement, the bondage, the feeling of lostness was changed when those that responded to Yeshua's words, because his words have power. The question is, how about us? Do you have the slows? Do you and I have the slows today? You see, we've come through tough times here in the last couple of years, many of us. Some people here are out of work. They're low on money. Some are sick. Some have jobs where it's just a daily grind and a routine, not particularly exciting. Some have suffered loss. We've seen others, loved ones, where there's little or no change in their lives, and it's very discouraging. And once the great hopes of the past that we had have been dimmed because of our experiences. I remember a period like this in my life quite well, I'd have to say. It was when I was on Capitol Hill. The Lord spoke to me about going into the ministry. And shortly after he spoke to me and I began to make changes to resign from what I was doing, Stacy and I began to have, and our whole family, huge family problems, huge. The congressional record on the last day that I served reported that I was going to be entering in the ministry. Even in the Washington newspapers talked about this guy on Capitol Hill was leaving the work of Capitol Hill and going on into the ministry. And then instead of going into the ministry, because everything was falling apart around me, I found myself in a consulting firm. And yeah, it was great. I made a lot of money, but I hated it. And I traveled all around the country during those days for about a year and a half, teaching and seminars around the country. And at night, I would come into my hotel room and I'd be totally bummed out. I'd be crying out to the Lord, "Lord, this is not what you called me to do. This is not what I really want to do." There was never a time in my life I would have to say that I was more depressed and more discouraged. Where was the vision? Where was the future that I thought I originally had, that I thought I'd heard from God? And then all of a sudden, God broke through. The reality was I was crossing the wilderness like the Israelites and heading to the promised land. The problem was I just didn't know it. That was the difficulty. You see, what's difficult about hard times is we don't know when they're going to end. That's what makes hard times difficult. Because if we knew there was a specific end point, we'd be like, okay, I can weather through this. But what happens during hard times is we just think they're just going to continue and there's not really going to be any change. And when things don't change, we suddenly get the sense of resignation in our lives, complacency, even this idea that, well, I guess it's just my lot in life to struggle and struggle and struggle. But hear what Yeshua says in John chapter 10. He says this: "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." And I want us to repeat, "and have it to the full." Let's say it. "And have it to the full." That's what God wants for you and me. This is what Yeshua promised for you and me. So what do you do to break out of the slows if you're going through it right now? What do you actually do? Well, I'll tell you right after I take a slug. You cry out to God, and you don't stop until something happens. That's what you do. You cry out to God, and you don't stop until something happens. You see, when the Israelites were sent into the Babylonian captivity, they were 70 years in that other nation. It was a long time. And it appeared to them that this was going to be the lot in their life. That was the way it was going to be. They were going to be subject to captivity. They'd been stripped from their own land. That's the way it was. But notice what Jeremiah says in chapter 29. He says to this group, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." That's what God wants. When we have the slows, is to seek him with our whole heart, to cry out to him until there's a change. And who knows what God may say when we start crying out. He might give you a fresh perspective on your current circumstances. He might direct you in a completely different direction than from where you've been going. He might make adjustments in your path. I don't know. But God has innumerable ways to intervene into our lives and to change things for the better. I do know this: the slows are not good for anybody. I want you to hear what Yeshua's words are to those who had the slows in the book of Revelation. And it was to a group of believers. This is what he said to those that had the slows in Revelation chapter 3. He says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Wow. That's heavy words. It's amazing that the Lord says that he prefers people who are either zealous followers or none at all, over those who claim to know him but are just humdrum. They're just like, oh, well, it's the way it is. Because that's the group that upsets the Lord, because that's the group that represents him. What happens to this group is they've got the slows. You see, the slows are not what we're doing. It has nothing to do with what we're doing. It's where our hearts are directed. If our hearts are directed towards the Lord, that's called kavanah. It's an intentionality towards God and what he's going to do. You don't have the slows. Things might be difficult, but you don't have the slows. But you could have kava, which is the daily routine. Well, I'm just going to, this is the way it is. Maybe I'm going to serve God. I'll come to services, pray the prayers, read the scripture, but oh, well, I've got the slows. You see? That's not the real thing. If things aren't right in your life, don't give up. Cry out to God. Don't be just the humdrum, oh, well, this is my lot in life. Yeshua said, it's not. It's not your lot in life. He's promised a full life. But you can't make it happen. It's got to be from above. And you've got to cry out to the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just pray for anybody in this room right now, in the name of Yeshua, who's going through the slows, the humdrums, the bum outs, whatever the situation is, Lord. And Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua, they would just begin to cry out in their heart, Lord God, to look to you and to receive your transformational words, oh God, like Yeshua spoke when he spoke on this earth, Lord, and those that received him became sons and daughters of God and were transformed and they changed the world. And Lord, we know you have a better lot for us, oh God. And so, Father, I pray in Yeshua's name, wherever anybody is, whether they know you or not, whether they've been following you or not, it doesn't matter. It goes the same way. You call out to the Lord. You ask Yeshua to forgive you your sins. You give your life over to him fully. And you keep seeking the Lord until there's a breakthrough. And so, Father, I pray right now for breakthroughs for people in Yeshua's name. That, Lord, will get us out of the slows, Lord. And you'll lift us up, Lord God, and to help us to walk at a new level, a higher level, a level of victory and power and abundance, Lord God, and peace, oh Lord. And, Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us and for what Yeshua has done for us, oh Lord. And in his name we pray. Amen and amen. And let me close with the Aaronic benediction.